In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I will not keep you long, but I just wanted to offer a few thoughts and reflections. I've been paying particular attention in the last year at how many pictures we take in our lives. It seems that for every important event, we have a camera. We even had a camera today as we were processing around. It was beautiful. And some of the thoughts that came to my mind, the first one was, if you were watching the Super Bowl, at the kickoff, right when the kicker approaches the ball and he kicks the ball, you see hundreds and hundreds of flashes. Everybody's trying to capture that moment. We just recently had our folk dance festival, and there were proud parents and friends taking pictures of their loved ones as they danced. Last week, when we were at the Goya basketball games, pictures were being taken. We had our Apocriatico Glendi just last week, and it was beautiful, by the way. And there was a red carpet there, almost like the Academy Awards. So when you walked in on the red carpet with your spouse or your date, they were there to take a picture of you. I even remember, as I was reflecting, at Father Cristo's ordination to the priesthood. And we had seminarians from Boston here that were assisting and helping in the altar. And at the moment of the ordination, at the time of the ordination, they all pulled out their iPhones and their smartphones, and they were taking pictures of the moment. That one really caught me, because when I was a seminarian, I couldn't afford a phone. But I guess things are different now. But the thing that is important is that we want to capture that moment. It's important. And we put them and download them in our computers, and we put them in photo albums, or we make videos of them. And we often refer back to that beautiful memory or memories that we have of the event. Well, when you think about it, an icon is nothing different than that. An icon is a snapshot, if you will, of either a saint, our Lord, or an event that occurred in the life of our Lord, or the Theotokos, or another holy event. It is something that we cherish because we lost it as it was taken away from us, but then we found it and it was brought back to us. So if you look in this church, this beautiful church, there's icons all around us. But stop and think for a moment if there were no icons on the walls. Stop and think for a moment if there were just bare walls. It would look much like an auditorium, wouldn't it? Well, as I've often told you, I'm a visual person. I learn by seeing and hearing. And so that's why these images are so important to me, and I pray to you. So don't take an icon for granted. It's not a piece of art. It is something very special. and it is to be cherished and honored. When I come to your homes and bless them, we sprinkle holy water on your icons. Why? So that they have that extra blessing, God. And we take that image, and as we told the children, we use it for our edification because we see with our eyes. And so, when we look around, we see all these icons everywhere. Here's Christ. And if you don't know, He's pulling Adam and Eve out of Hades. He's trampling down death. And behind Him are the prophets and the fathers of the Old Testament. John the Baptist is always on His right, pointing to Him. So that's a teaching moment, right? John the Baptist is saying, He is the one. He's the one that I prepared the way for. Prodromo, He's the road. He's the one that I'm showing you the way. And then you look around. Here's His crucifixion. You see His mother crying. Could you imagine if your son were being crucified in front of you? And who is this? This is John the theologian beside Him. John was the only one that went because the others were afraid. This is a teaching moment. Jesus from the cross said, introduced, they knew each other, but He said, "Woman, this now is your son." And He told John, "This now is your mother." And it says in the Gospel of John that He took her into His home and there she remained. So He took care of her. That's a teaching moment, right? And you look at all the saints on the wall. We have men on this side and females on this side. You have an iconostasis, which is the separation from the nave, where you, the worshipers, are worshiping, into the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies. Do you remember the Temple of Solomon? It was divided into three sections. And so our church is also. We have the narthex, where we come and prepare ourselves and make our offering to God. We have the nave, where we come and worship God in here. That's why I say, "Say Kyrie eleison," Lord, have mercy on us. And then you have the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies. Remember, they used to carry the Ark of the Covenant, the Jews, because they had to transport God with them wherever they went. They were carrying Him with them. And so we have our holy altar, and it's permanent here. So this is another teaching moment. I can look all around. I can look up in the dome. And straight up is Lord God Almighty, our Lord, O Pantocrator. He is the King of Kings. And He is holding the gospel in His right hand, and in His left hand, and He's blessing you with His right hand. And then below Him, you see the Old Testament fathers and the prophets. Always in an Orthodox dome, the Theotokos is here. And directly across is John the Baptist. And he looks like an angel with wings. And then we're blessed. We have all of the scenes, the major scenes of the New Testament. They go around. And in every single icon is something that teaches you. You look at the baptism, and what are the waters doing? They're reversing flow. Do you remember that? That happened? You see the dove coming down upon the Lord's head. Remember, God the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased," and He sent the Spirit and rested upon the Son's head. Every single icon teaches you something. And every single hymn that we sing expresses that. So you hear and you see. and you learn. So this is very important. It's something that we cherish and we hold on to. It is a snapshot for us of a moment. Whether it be a kicker kicking the ball, whether it be a dancer dancing, whether it be a basketball player taking a shot, whether it be a couple walking in for a nice evening. It is a picture that we take and we hold close to us. So when you go into your room at night, kiss your icon. Do your cross. Father, I'm too tired to pray. Okay? Say the Lord's Prayer and do your cross and kiss the icon. We can at least do that. And put them up on your walls. Don't hide them. I know we have them in our cars, and that's wonderful. Crosses, an icon, whatever. But we need to hold on to what we see and what we know. If you don't know what the image is, ask someone, and we will teach you. I'm going to do my best, but I can't do it all by myself. So you have to read, you have to study a little bit, and you have to be inquisitive enough to ask, what does this mean, Father? Or, your nono or nuna. What a beautiful example that is. That godparents are an extension of the parents. So when you leave here today, you take these with you in your mind and your heart and your soul. And when you leave here today, you go home, and your home is nothing more than an extension of the church. So what you do here, you do there. If your children see that, they will become better people. If your grandchildren see you do that, they will become better people. If they see you get to church on time, they will become better people. I'm not going to change the subject now, but the clock rang a little earlier this week. And some of you made it. Some of you tried. And that's good because you're here. But if the clock, because we moved up an hour, 11 o'clock is like 10 o'clock, right? So if you get here at 10, if you can get here, you know, with that extra hour, you can certainly get here by 10. You proved it. We got to do it together. I can't be in here by myself. It says that I have to have two or three gathered in His name before I can do a service. That's a teaching moment, right? So let's do it together. Let's learn together. Let's live our faith together. Let's show them what it really means to be an Orthodox Christian in this world that needs orthodoxy so much. If you'll be the example, your children will be the example. And their children will be the example. And their children will be the example. You see, it's like our faith. It's an unbroken chain. It's 2,000 years old. The apostles gave it to the bishops. And the bishop passed it on to the next bishop. And the next bishop. And the next bishop. And the next bishop. And here we are today. The same is true with all of us. If you give it to your child, he'll give it to his child. And he'll give it to his child. But it's only going to happen if you start looking at things that are holy and treating them as such. So today, think about this. We have icons in our lives again. And those icons warm our hearts. Show your children how important it is to kiss it. Show your children how important it is to pray in front of it. Show your children that if you are reading a scripture reading, you have an icon beside you. This is what we're supposed to do. This is the life that we're supposed to live. So I put forth the challenge to you all. This is the time of year when we always come back. We have a lot of people in church. And that is nice. And we welcome and honor all of you. So take what you got today home with you. And before you eat your meal, go into your house and kiss the icon in your house, or icons in your house. When people in Russia would come to visit and enter the house, they always have their icons right to the side of the door, and the person that comes in would bow to the icon. So today, you do that in your home. Go in and bow to your icon and kiss it. And take that snapshot and hold on to it and learn all that you can about it. If we can do this, we can make a difference in our lives, our children's lives, and our children's lives to come. Amen.